If you talk to a lot of people today, many of them are just flat out afraid of something. They are fearful of something. There is a lot of fear in people today. Sometimes I fall into that trap, and then I've just got to stop and tell myself, as a Christian, I should not fear anything. I should not be afraid. That is something that, if we have that in our life, we need to understand what the Bible tells us to do about that. I want us to start this morning by going back to our theme verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We should have power and love and a sound mind. Sometimes we become afraid of something. We work to get rid of whatever we are afraid of. And you know what happens then? We let something else crawl into our head and we start worrying about that. We start being fearful about that. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God has plans for each of us here. God has plans for this congregation. So I want us to talk this morning about fear. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And 1 Corinthians 16:3 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. That quit means be like men. So we are to avoid discouragement, and we are to be encouraged in our faith. Well, how can we achieve encouragement even in times of discouragement? One of the answers to do that is to develop and maintain an unwavering faith in the power and the presence and the provisions of our God. The Bible reveals verses and reasons to encourage us. So I want us to consider those. And the first one I want us to consider is, we should not fear because God will take care of us. We think back to Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Sometimes we think that God doesn't see what's going on. Friends, God knows down to the number of hairs on each of our heads of over 7 billion people on this planet. And we think that God doesn't know and He doesn't care for us. He takes care of the sparrows. He takes care of the little birds out there. He's going to take care of us. And we need to remember God in our life. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, come now you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You see, God knows what's going on. He knows the details of everything. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we just get so wrapped up in life and we forget how short it is. We don't have time to be distracted by fear, friends. To him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You see, God has a plan for us, and his purposes will be achieved. Luke 12:32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When I think of a little flock, do you know what I think of? That's us. Do not fear. Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is watching over us. God will take care of us. So we should not fear. Well, God will bless us throughout our life, and we should not fear. Just as Code was saying how much God has blessed him, he has blessed all of us, friends. And you can go back to the Old Testament and look at example after example after example. Genesis 26, 24, the Lord appeared to him the same night, and this is talking about appearing to Isaac, and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. God was not going to forget the promise that he made to Abraham. And in Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 8, verse 8 is one of our memory verses. And just as a side note too, I hope you're looking at those more than just when we come together on Wednesday evening. And I personally, for my study, I've put them in a binder and I add sheets to them. And when there's something, the verses, we have verses on encouragement. We have verses on the Word of God. We have verses for different times. And sometimes I just sit down and look at a section of those and it brings me back to where I should be. Joshua 8, I think that's in the section on the Word of God. But this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you ever feel like God is not with you? We might fall into a slump like that, something going on. Friends, we need to remind ourselves the same thing that Joshua said. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with us. God knows our needs. Back to Matthew chapter 6. We need to seek the kingdom first and all those things will be added to us. We have it backwards. We're seeking all those things out there in the world, our food, our shelter, our clothing, what we're going to wear, what we're going to put on, what we're going to do. And then we give God the leftovers. Friends, we've got it backwards. We seek the kingdom first and God will take care of us. And sometimes those circumstances, whether we have a lot or have a little, they will prove or test our faith. Sometimes I fall into the trap of comparing myself to friends that I have that are about the same age and what they have acquired with in life. And then I think about it for a second and let it go. God knows what I need. Sometimes I think if I had more, what would I do with it? Or would it take my focus toward those things instead of God? God knows what we need and he provides for us. He blesses us. He blesses us throughout our life with all the physical blessings. And he blesses us in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Friends, those spiritual blessings far outweigh the physical blessings, and we need to make sure that we are in Christ to have those. Where are these blessings? All blessings, all of these blessings blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So then we need to ask the question, am I in Christ? How do I get into Christ? I'm baptized into Christ. I put Christ on. I follow Christ. And that is where all the spiritual blessings are. So we should not fear. God will take care of us. He'll bless us through our life. and God will not stop providing for us. Do you ever feel like, well, I've got plenty today, but it could all disappear tomorrow? And that is true, it could. But that's just Satan crawling back into our head again, bringing that fear back in. Psalm 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Do we doubt God? We shouldn't. We shouldn't. Matthew 6:11, when Jesus said, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We need to just focus on today, and God will supply our needs. But you stop and think back. I don't know of anybody from this group that has died of starvation. Some of us might have the opposite problem where we might die from eating too much. God's going to bless us. Again, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All of those things will be added for our physical hunger. He will add those things for our spiritual hunger also. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We'll be filled. And that's what we really need to be hungry for. We need to be hungry for God's word. And Jesus in John 4, in talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Friends, do we thirst for that living water? You know, I drink a lot of water, and the water up here sometimes help me as much or more than the microphone when my throat gets dry. And you see how temporary that is, because I'll go through a bottle and then another one. But that living water, Christ can satisfy that thirst for us for spiritual things like nothing else can. I want us to spend some time thinking about not fearing, because God will protect us from danger. And there are a lot of people in the world right now that are afraid of danger. And if you would, please turn back to Daniel 3. And I want us to consider an account from the Old Testament and how God watches over and protects his people. In Daniel 3, down in verse 9, they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So these men, these Chaldeans, come before the king, and they are making accusations against three Jews. Now drop down to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you on this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, he was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it is usually heated. Verse 20, and he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, their outer garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Down to verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke to his counselors. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Verse 27. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were the garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." You just stop and think about this for a minute. This heathen king recognizes the God and the power of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is no other God who can deliver like this. Then they promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all the peoples, nations, languages that dwell on earth, peace be multiplied to you. Chapter 4, verse 2. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Friends, God gave Nebuchadnezzar these physical signs with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gives us signs every day. Every morning we wake up and we see the sunrise. We see that beautiful sky. We see the moon. We see the stars at night. We know God is still in control. He is still in control. But what do? Sometimes we are like these people that speak amiss against the God in chapter 3, verse 29. How do we do that? We lack faith. We're speaking against God because we don't have faith that God's going to do what he tells us we're going to do. And then what do? We become fearful. We become fearful. Friend, God has no equal. There is no one we can compare him to. He's in a class all by himself. Who are you going to compare God to? They tried to in the Old Testament with all the idols. You cannot compare God to anybody. He's distinctive in his holiness, his purity, his goodness, his strength, his power, his might. He is majestic. He's great. He's awesome. He's worthy of worship. He is set apart higher than any other. Our greatest thoughts cannot come close to his wisdom at all. Does it make sense when he tells us to be baptized and we'll be saved and go to heaven if we live faithfully? Our thoughts can't come close to his thoughts. Our greatest strength is useless against his might. You hear, and I listen very little to the news, but every so often I hear people talk about World War III and a nuclear war and $80 billion of military weapons left here and this and that and things going on, and people sticking out their chest and bragging about how much power and money and all the weapons they have. You go back to the Old Testament and you can find where God brought down nations using locusts. Locusts. God's in control. God controls the hearts of these world leaders to turn them which way he wants to. Maybe he wants to start a war. Maybe he's bringing judgment on us because of our unrighteousness. Friends, we do not need to fear. As long as we realize God is in control and we have the right relationship with God. And friend, not only do we need to worry about the governors and kings and rulers, but God is greater than Satan. God is greater than Satan. 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. People, so many people are afraid today of so many things. Friends, as a child of God, we should not be fearful. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we shouldn't fear. We know God's going to take care of us. He's going to bless us. He's not going to stop providing for us. One other thing on providing. This is the time of the year. I was talking with Carol about this the other day. You start seeing estate sales, garage sales, yard sales. Why is that? Because people have so much stuff, and they're trying to get rid of it. Friends, God is not going to stop providing for us. God will protect us, and God will provide companions for us as we go through this life. You go back to the Old Testament, to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 7, then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches, but he never asked, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie to get down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? The one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. God will bring people into our lives to be companions for us. It may be a marriage relationship, it may be someone in the church, it may be the church itself. Friends, none of us have to fear going through this life alone. You look at this group right here, and I do not know of a tighter knit group than the people that are here. Anybody would do anything for anybody. Did it just happen that way? No, that's part of God's plan. God provides companions for us. And the companion, when we are living right, that will never leave us, is Christ. When we are right with God, Christ will never leave us. When Joshua faced the Canaanites, the Lord was there. When Jeremiah was lowered down into that muddy, miry pit, which was his prison, lowered down on a rope. God was there with him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, God was there with them. And friends, we've got to have that mindset. We have to think about that. And again, you go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God never promised us a life with no fiery furnaces. We might go through some pretty big fires, but we aren't going to go through them alone. God is going to go through them with us, just like then. Well, also we should not fear, and we should not fear the grave, because there is life after the grave. Revelation 1:17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death.'" Friends, it's going to be a scary thing. It's going to be an awesome thing. It's going to be a fearful thing on the judgment day when we see our judge Christ. It's going to be a fearful thing if we are not right. He says, "I have the keys of Hades and death." Friends, there is going to be a bodily resurrection, but we should not fear that. That's something we should be living for and looking forward to, that time when we will leave this life. 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead." So we know there's going to be a resurrection because Christ was resurrected. Drop down to verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We complain sometimes about our bodies wearing out. Friends, we're getting closer to that reward, that we've been working for, if we are faithful. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" So friends, we need to develop and maintain an unwavering faith in the power and the presence and the provisions of God in our life. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Sometimes we sing the song, "He took my burdens all away, up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. A wonderful song I now can sing. In my heart, joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song." Friend, we should not fear. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise his name. He is my king. A wonderful song he is to me. I am redeemed no more to die, never to say goodbye. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. And some of these days in that fair land, sing with the chorus grand, he gave me a song, a wonderful song, a wonderful song. Friend, God will take care of us. He'll bless us. He'll not stop providing for us. He'll protect us. He'll provide companions for us. There's life after the grave. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Friends, do not fear. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to obey the gospel, make correction in your life, ask for prayers, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.